Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to let you know that this program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And I do want to thank Susan, who went ahead and sent a donation to support.greatdetectives.net. We also have three new Patreon supporters, monthly supporters, Robin and Laura at the Detective Sergeant level, which is $7.14 or more per month, and Mike at the Shamus level, which is $4 or more a month. Thank you so much for your support. And you can support the show either through a one-time donation at support.greatdetectives.net or by becoming one of our Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Ellery Queen. It should be noted that the CBS version of Ellery Queen came to an end on April the 16th of 1947. However, the show returned as a summer replacement over NBC a few weeks later on June the 1st of 1947. However, there was a new cast with Larry Dobkin as Ellery Queen, Bill Smith as Inspector Queen, Ed Latimer as Sergeant Veely, and Charlotte Keene as Nikki Porter. And this was an NBC version that aired during the summer of 1947. We only have one episode from that run. The original air date of this program is September the 7th of 1947. And the title is The Case of Number 31.
If you're suffering from painful corns, listen. One cool drop of Freezone liquid corn remover instantly cools, soothes burning painful corns. Instantly goes to work to relieve tormenting pain. Equally amazing, when used as directed, Freezone helps remove corns. Get Freezone liquid corn remover. There's no fuss, no bulky, messy pads. One cool drop of Freezone instantly cools, soothes burning painful corns. Ellery Queen. In the interests of a safer American home, a happier American community, a more United States, the makers of Anacin bring you Ellery Queen.
I dedicate this program to the fight against crime. Not merely crimes of violence and crimes of dishonesty, but crimes of intolerance, discrimination, and bad citizenship. Crimes against America.
Anacin, for the fast, prolonged relief of headache pain, brings you another case in the career of Ellery Queen, celebrated fighter of crime. Anacin's guest armchair detective, who's in the studio to solve the mystery, before Ellery reveals the solution, is Mr. Kent Smith. And now, Ellery Queen tells the story of a mysterious international figure suspected of diamond smuggling, number 31.
Just a minute, Charlie. Inspector.
Huh? Who is it, Billy?
A radio phone. Charlie says some guy's calling the police department from the steamship Aegee at sea.
Mm-hmm. So I'm elected, huh? Inspector Queen speaking.
You kept me waiting.
Hi, Kip. Who is this?
George Arcaris.
Oh, yes, Mr. Arcaris. Well, what can I do for you?
You and your police and your customs officials can let me alone. That's what you can do for me, Inspector, whoever you are.
No, I don't get you, Mr. Arcaris. If you're on shipboard in mid-Atlantic, you...
You can let me alone when the ship docks in New York.
Oh, expecting trouble with the customs, Mr. Arcaris?
Very humorous. Three times now I've been searched in your customs like a common criminal. If it occurs this time, I shall make the most vigorous representations to my government. Do you understand me? Inspector, what is your name?
I understand you.
He's gonna make trouble, Inspector, huh?
That's what he says, Vili.
Mm. Is this a private fight, Dad, or can anyone get in on it?
Oh, that was a bird named George Arcaris, Ellery.
He's from the Near East.
Yeah, and he has plenty of connections.
Arcaris, of course.
What's your interest in him?
Well, son, about a year ago, we got a tip he was smuggling diamonds in. We passed the tip to customs. They gave him the business.
But no diamonds, I take it.
No diamonds. Still, after Arcaris sailed back to his homeland, some stuff turned up around New York that seemed to jibe with our tip.
The same thing happened on his next two trips, Maestro.
Now he calls from mid-ocean to say that if he's bothered again, he'll make a diplomatic issue of it.
Well, if he's innocent, you can't blame him.
Listen, Miss Porter, this Arcaris is an international mystery man.
And he's suspected of everything from espionage to murder, but never any proof.
Well, it certainly doesn't keep him out of cafe society. He's always being wined and dined by people like Pip Istrom and Sue Mounting and that crowd.
Oh. Who's been passing these tips along, Dad?
Oh, they've been coming in by way of the underground. Vili, get me ZK at customs.
Yes, sir, right away.
Of course, it's occurred to you, Dad, that Arcaris may be smuggling the diamonds in through a Confederate.
It's occurred to us, but
that's right. Yeah.
What can you do? It's one of those things that...
Yeah, just a minute, please.
Here's simple enough.
Here's ZK, Inspector.
Zach, anything come in on George Arcaris? Yes, I know. Well, I just got a notion about that. I'll call you right back. There's been another tip. Now, listen, Ellery. We must make sure that Arcaris isn't slipping the ice to a co-worker to carry off. Now, would you make sure for us?
It's a delicate situation, Maestro.
If you tell us he hasn't passed anything to a pal, we'll search Arcaris in customs, Ellery.
I'd have to board the Aegea quite a bit before she docks, Dad.
That'll be a cinch now. I can arrange it with the port and customs people.
All right.
Now, look here. You go out Sunday with the pilot and mingle with the passengers.
Yeah, neither do I. Oh, wait a minute. There he is.
Now, Vili, be ready to take Arcaris over from Ellery.
Okay.
All right, get going.
So that's Mr. Arcaris.
Let's get closer, Nikki.
Why, Inspector, there's Pip Istrom and Susu Mounting, his fiancée.
His society friends, huh?
Pip, Susu, here I am.
Susu, there he is.
George,
hi, George.
Darling, hi.
I'll see you as soon as I'm finished with the customs.
Don't let him push you around, George.
Don't worry.
Well, Ellery,
nothing doing.
He didn't pass it.
I'm positive. Haven't had my eyes off him. If he's smuggling anything, Dad, it's in his luggage or on him.
Well, that means a body search. And I better go tell Zach. Thanks, son.
Phone me at home, Dad, will you?
Uh-huh.
I wonder if they'll find anything, Ellery.
I wonder. Nothing, eh?
Not a blasted thing, son. Vili swears Arcaris didn't pass anything to anyone from the gangway to the customs ship.
Arcaris raising Cain?
He's calling Washington right now. I guess those tips are phonies, and we've fell for them.
Yeah. Keep me informed, Dad. Oh, Nikki.
The inspector?
Yes, and it's a washout.
Uh-oh. Oh, by the way, Ellery, there's a Mrs. Prine waiting to see you. She's terribly concerned about her son.
Her son?
Well, all right?
Oh, as long as she's here already, yeah.
Come in, Mrs. Prine.
Yes, please, come in, Mrs. Prine, and sit down, won't you?
Oh, Mr. Quinn, it's about Arthur, my boy.
Yes?
He's missing. He didn't come home yesterday.
Well, suppose you tell me all about it.
Well, we live in Harlem, Mr. Quinn, just Arthur and me. I'm a widow. I'm sickly, and Arthur supports me.
Where was Arthur supposed to be coming home from, Mrs. Prine?
From his job. He's got a butlin job over on Park Avenue, employed by Mr. Istrom.
Ellery...
Oh, the buddy of our good friend, Nicky. Please go on, Mrs. Prime.
Well, every Saturday for 3 years, Mr. Queen, that boy's come straight home from Park Avenue with his salary. Here it is Sunday, and he ain't home yet.
Have you called Mr. Istrom?
Oh, yes, sir, yesterday evening. But he said Arthur had left at the usual time, saying he was going right home. I don't know what I'll do if Arthur don't show up by tonight.
Mrs. Prime is afraid he'll lose his job, Ellery.
Mr. Istrom's awful strict. Every morning, Arthur has to have Mr. Istrom's breakfast ready by 9 o'clock. Monday mornings, Arthur always gets there by 8:30, just so Mr. Istrom can eat on time.
Did Istrom offer any possible explanation, Mrs. Bryant?
Well, he said not to worry. But I don't know, Mr. Queen. It don't sound like Arthur.
Hmm. Have you notified the police?
Oh, no, sir. Mr. Istrom wouldn't like that. That's why I come to you, Mr. Queen.
Yes. Well, now, you go home and stop worrying, Mrs. Prine. I'll make the inquiries.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Queen.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pip Istrom's butler, and today George Arcaris came in. Funny coincidence.
Mickey, get me the missing persons bureau.
Here she is, Ellery.
Hmm? Oh. Good morning, Mrs. Bryan.
Morning, Mr. Queen. Miss Porter.
Morning.
I got down here just as fast as I could.
Mrs. Bryan, I think we've found Arthur.
Well, you have? Well, where is he?
Mrs. Bryan.
Yes, sir?
I'm afraid we have some dreadful news for you. This is the city mortuary.
What, sir?
This is the morgue, Mrs. Bryan. Nicky.
It's all right, sir. It's all right.
Lean on me, Mrs. Bryan.
Do you think that you're up to identifying Arthur officially for us, Mrs. Bryan?
I want to see my boy.
Nicky.
I know, Ellery.
All right, Mrs. Bryan. Sergeant.
Right, Maestro.
That's my son. Arthur! He was all damp, wet-like.
His body was taken out of the East River at 5 o'clock this morning.
Arthur never did a wrong thing in his life. Only maybe play 10 cents on the numbers once in a while. He won $20 last month playing the number 31.
What?
Yes, sir. He liked that number, 31. Been playing it for most a year. Do I go home now?
Sergeant, take Mrs. Bryan home, will you?
Yeah. Go on, Mrs. Bryan. Easy. Go on.
I think I'd like a cup of coffee, Ellery.
Then Pip Istrom is going to have to give it to you.
Istrom? But, Ellery, it's so early in the morning. It's only 7:15.
This can't wait, Nicky. There's a connection between Arthur's death and George Arcaris. That number, 31.
You mean just because Arthur played 31 all the time in the numbers game?
The number of Arcaris' cabin on the Aegeo was also 31. Come on, Nicky.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the beginning of our mystery. If you want to relieve headache, neuritis, or neuralgia pains quickly, try Anacin. The relief it brings is incredibly fast. Here's why. Anacin is made like a doctor's prescription, contains not just one, but a combination of medically active and proved ingredients. Get Anacin from your druggist, an easy-to-take tablet form. Keep it handy. And then next time you have a headache pain or suffer pain of neuritis or neuralgia, take Anacin tablets. For most effective relief, use only as directed. Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. And now, back to our story. Hopping into a cab, Ellery and Nicky go directly from the city mortuary to Pip Istrom's apartment on Park Avenue.
I can't see anyone at this hour. I'm just having my breakfast.
Mr. Istrom, your butler is dead.
Arthur? Dead? Well, come in.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Please forgive the appearance of my apartment. Arthur was the only servant I employed. Then, that's something of a blow. He was a jewel. Won't you sit down?
Thanks, Mr. Istrom, but we...
Mind if I have another cup of coffee?
Not at all.
Join me?
No, thanks.
Arthur's mother phoned me Saturday night, but naturally... How did he die? Run over? Stabbed in some Harlem brawl?
Even if he was in a brawl, Mr. Istrom, I strongly doubt that it took place in Harlem. He died of a cerebral fracture. There's a bruise on his jaw, and the back of his head is not pretty.
And then his body was dumped in the East River, like a sack of garbage.
In a word, Mr. Istrom, Arthur was murdered.
That's clumsy of me. Well, see here, Queen, do the police think I did it or some such nonsense? The last time I saw Arthur was Saturday evening when he left here perfectly all right.
Mm-hmm. I take it that your friend, George Arcaris, knew Arthur.
Sure. What has Arcaris to do with Arthur's death, Queen?
That, Mr. Istrom, is what I propose to find out.
George, he only got into the States yesterday morning.
Arthur may not have been murdered until yesterday afternoon. Immersion in water, you see, often makes it difficult to fix the exact time of death.
Now, look here, I'm getting a little bit bored with all this. My fiancée, Miss Mounting, and I have known Mr. Arcaris for a long time, and I'm quite
31.
Sure... I beg your pardon?
I said 31. Does the number 31 mean anything to you, Mr. Istrom?
Not a thing.
Oh, then, I'll let you return to your breakfast. Mickey?
Now you're way off, son. What possible connection could there be?
I don't know, Dad, but there is one.
All on account of a number 31, a coincidence.
Just the same.
31, a coincidence.
Just the same, I'm going to see Arcaris.
Ellery, no.
Why?
Now lay off Arcaris, will you? You don't know the stench he's made. Now, please, son.
Okay. But, Dad, I think you're making a big mistake.
And that seemed to be the end of the diamond smuggling case. And of the Arthur Prine case, too. The police got nowhere on it, and Ellery got grumpier every day. Then 2 weeks later, it was a Sunday.
Nikki, is that you?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
In my Sunday best. Ellery, what's the matter?
The Aegea, it's sailing today.
So what?
George Arcaris is sailing on it.
I suppose he is.
Nikki. We can just make it.
Make what?
The Aegea. I just solved it, Nikki. Come on.
I hope you know what you're doing, Mr. Queen.
Trust me, Captain.
You hope.
Queen. Captain Dillier, Mr. Arcaris. Open your cabin door, please.
Yes? What is it, Captain? Who are these people?
Mr. Arcaris, would you mind if this gentleman searches your cabin?
Search? I mind very definitely, Captain.
Perhaps if I explained. Mr. Arcaris, it's my theory that this cabin contains a hiding place.
Hiding place? Of what?
Of some diamonds.
Oh, I see. Formerly, I've been accused of smuggling diamonds into the United States. Now I am accused of smuggling them out. Is that it?
Not exactly. But you will admit, Mr. Arcaris, won't you, that it's a very odd coincidence you're always booking Cabin 31 on the Aegea, both coming and going?
Man is demented. Very well.
Go ahead. Sir, I can't hold up the ship, Mr. Queen. We sail in 10 minutes.
Ellery, 10 minutes?
One side, Nikki.
You'll have to hurry, Mr. Queen.
It's a pity my good friends, Mr. Istrom and Miss Mounting, did not stay on board long enough to witness this spectacle.
So Istrom and Miss Mounting were here, Mr. Arcaris. Here in your cabin?
You know them? Yes, Mr. Queen. They always see me off.
That's very interesting, Arcaris, because the steel support of this bunk comes out, revealing a very effective hiding place.
What?
Why, it's big enough to hide a fortune in diamonds.
But Mr. Queen, it's empty.
Certainly, Captain, but it was full of diamonds when the Aegea docked.
But Ellery, he was searched when he got off the ship.
Arcaris left the diamonds on board, Nikki. He never carried them off when the ship made port. But he made sure always to get Cabin 31 for the return trip. You heard him just now. Pip Istrom and Susu Mounting always see him off. Visitors to the ship on its outgoing voyage. Such visitors are not searched when they leave. One of them carried the diamonds off just a few minutes ago.
Stand very still.
Oh. My error.
Do not move, please. Not even a little. Very good.
Oh, the swine. Oh, locked.
Ellery, look here, through the porthole. He's running down the gangway just as they're pulling it in.
Never mind our carriers, Nicky. We've got to get to Istrom's. Captain, get us off your ship. And so, Mr. Istrom, I will trouble you for those diamonds.
The Queen, they have nothing to do with our carriers. My fiancée, Miss Mounting, did turn some jewels over to me this afternoon, yes. But...
Oh, she did?
Yes, she often does. Susu was very popular before our engagement, you know, with some extremely wealthy gentry. She gambles a little, I'm afraid, and she turned some of their gifts over to me for disposal. You know, my father made his money in South African diamonds. I still have some of father's connection. Do you doubt my word?
Are you as big an idiot as you sound, Istrom? Your precious Susu has been smuggling diamonds into the United States for your friend Arcaris and getting you to turn them into cash.
That's a lie, Queen. That's a filthy lie.
Oh, Harry, watch yourself!
Semper, Mr. Istrom. Sorry.
Wow. You knocked him out, Harry. He's out cold.
Yes. Now to find those diamonds.
Don't bother.
Huh?
Susu Mounting.
I've got them. It's a queen, isn't it?
You know, Miss Mounting, that gun is probably loaded. You sure you know what you're doing?
Oh, stop it. Now, you're both going to march out of here and go down to the street. You'll pretend nothing's wrong. You'll get into my car. Drive it. I'll be in the back with this thing pointing at you. And you'll drive out to the country.
Sounds cozy.
Shut up.
Where are we going, Susu?
To a little hideaway cottage used by George Arcaris.
Arcaris?
Get going.
You are an idiot, Susu. To bring them here. Why did you not shoot them in Pip's apartment?
Well, I'm not as used to shooting people as you are, George. I'm getting out of here.
Stay where you are. Perhaps it is just as well, Mr. Queen. I owe you something. Personally. Now that Susu has brought you here, we will make the best of it, eh? We have the diamonds. This is Pip Istrom's pistol. We will concoct the plot. Hmm?
Ellery.
It's all right, Nicky. Arcaris wouldn't be that foolish.
Foolish? This cottage is owned by Pip Istrom, Mr. Queen. An accommodation to his good friend, George. But nothing on paper, you understand. So we will bury you here. By the time you are found, Mr. Istrom, who has been a dupe throughout, we'll have some explaining to do.
No, don't. George, wait. Wait till I go away with you.
My dear Miss Mounting, we smuggle diamonds together. We will commit murder together.
Oh, no.
Or would you rather join them? I give you 5 seconds, Susu.
Get it over with. Quick.
Duck, Nicky. I've got his gun, Dad.
Nice shooting, Billy.
Yes, stand still, girlfriend.
Take your paws off me, you. It's Mr. Istrom. Pip.
You filth.
Has anybody got a drink?
You've done your last drinking for some time, Miss Mounting. And I don't think, Arcaris, that you'll smuggle any more diamonds like these into the United States for some time.
You will get me a physician and my consulate at once.
Sure. Well, son, another narrow squeak.
You got Mr. Istrom to thank, Maestro. He came to after the Mounting woman hustled you out and phoned us pronto.
I heard Susu's confession, Mr. Queen. It quite restored my sanity.
Thanks for saving our lives, Istrom. Well, Dad, now...
Hurry. Let's get out of here.
Nicky, don't you want to know who killed Mrs. Prine's son, Arthur?
The murder of Mr. Istrom's butler.
You mean, son, the two cases are connected?
Oh, yes, Dad. And I'll tell you how right now. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery. Now, Nicky, will you introduce our guest?
Sure thing, Ellery. He's the popular screen and stage star, most recently seen with Anne Sheridan in the film Nora Prentice. Mr. Kent Smith.
Good evening, Mr. Smith. Nice to have you here.
Good evening, Ellery. Thanks for inviting me.
I understand that this season you're going to be playing for the fourth time with Catherine Cornell in Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra. Is that right?
That's right, Ellery. I played with Miss Cornell in Candida, St. Joan, Wingless Victory. And I'm looking forward with great enjoyment to Antony and Cleopatra.
Well, lots of luck, Mr. Smith. Let's hope the play has a long run. But now let's get down to business, shall we? Tell me who killed Arthur Prime.
Well, it seems rather simple from where I sit. I don't know whether it is or not, but Sousa's the real villain in this piece, except that she...
The villainess.
The villainess, yeah.
Just to be grammatically correct.
Well, I must say that I was fooled about Pip, but as long as he turns out to be okay, he probably...
Mm, having saved our lives, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It came in handy then.
And you gather it with Sousa.
Certainly did.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the motive?
Well, that I can't quite establish, except she might have found him. Pip sent... his butler to cabin 31, and the code they use was the numbers
code. Then you connect it with the diamonds.
Yeah.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Smith, and you'll find out in just a moment what the solution is.
I can't wait.
Good. Now, here is Don Hancock.
If you want to be certain your breath is sweeter and your teeth are brighter after brushing, listen. Collinose toothpaste has a mouthwash effect built right in to sweeten the breath. The moment you use Collinose, its mouthwash effect instantly and unfailingly sweetens every case of unpleasant breath due to improper cleansing, sweetens every case. At the same time, Collinose polishing action brightens teeth beautifully by removing ordinary yellow surface stains. So to be certain your breath is sweeter and your teeth are brighter, get K-O-L-Y-N-O-S, Collinose toothpaste or tooth powder tonight.
No, but how do you think...
Look, Maestro, what gives?
Listen, every morning for 3 years, Arthur Prime prepared his employer's breakfast by 9 o'clock. On Monday mornings, Arthur always got to Mr. Istrom's apartment by 8:30, Mrs. Prime told us, Nicky, just so Mr. Istrom can eat on time. Now, Nicky, do you recall the morning Mrs. Prime identified Arthur's body at the morgue?
Yes, it was a Monday morning.
And what time was it when we left the morgue to go to Mr. Istrom's apartment?
Very early. I think I said it was 7:15.
That's right. We took a cab. We went directly from the morgue to Istrom's Park Avenue apartment. So when we saw Istrom, no more than 15 to 20 minutes could have elapsed. In other words, it was around 7:30 in the morning. And what was Istrom doing when we called on him at that hour?
Eating his breakfast.
At 7:30 a.m. But this was breaking a fixed habit of years. Why, on that particular Monday morning, did not Pip Istrom wait for his man Arthur to turn up to prepare breakfast for him?
Because he knew Arthur was dead, Ellery?
Well, Dad, the only ones who knew Arthur was dead at that time were ourselves and Arthur's mother. Arthur's body hadn't been fished out of the East River until 5 a.m., hadn't been identified by his mother until 7:15 a.m., 15 minutes before we found Istrom eating a breakfast he himself must have prepared, since Arthur was his only servant. There is only one way Istrom could have known Arthur was dead, and that's if Istrom had killed him. Correct, Istrom?
Correct.
Yeah, but, Maestro, why? And what did the number 31 have to do with it?
Well, for some time, Arthur, who had a weakness for playing the numbers game, had been playing 31, because he had noticed that your good friend Arcaris always occupied cabin 31 in the Aegea. Arthur took that as a hunch, as so many numbers players do. But that last Saturday, Arthur suddenly realized that Arcaris wasn't using cabin 31 in the Aegea just because he liked it. He had probably noticed also that each time after Arcaris sailed in cabin 31 in the Aegea, your fiancé, Istrom, invariably deposited some diamonds with you. And your butler made the connection you were too blind to make. He told you that Saturday afternoon, and you must...
And I was so outraged, I lost my temper and hit Arthur in the jaw with all my strength. He fell hard and fractured his head on the floor. I didn't mean to kill him. I hit his body then... Middle of the night, I took it down the surface elevator into my car, disposed of it in the river.
I'm afraid, Istrom, that you've been your own worst enemy throughout. Too infatuated with Sousa Mounting to see what she really was, too hot-headed to control that murderous temper of yours, and too foolish to call the police when Arthur died and rely on the simple truth. Now you'll have to face a jury under very different circumstances.
It'll be your own fault, Istrom, if they don't believe your story. Sergeant, take him in, too.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to our mystery. Thank you again, Mr. Kent Smith, for being our guest armchair detective this evening. And as mementos of your visit with us, Anderson is proud to present you with this autographed copy of my new anthology, The Queen's Awards, 1946, and a subscription to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine. As a special gift, we have for you a Stromberg-Carlson radio phonograph combination, complete with push-button tuning and automatic record changer. We're also presenting you with a generous supply of Anacin for the relief of headache pain. Perhaps your own doctor has already recommended Anacin for the fast help it can give.
Ellery will be back in a moment. The next time you suffer from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, take Anacin. The relief it brings is incredibly fast, and here's why. Anacin is made like a doctor's prescription, contains not just one, but a combination of medically active and proved ingredients. Get Anacin from your druggist in easy-to-take tablet form. Keep it handy. And then, next time you have a headache pain or suffer pain of neuritis or neuralgia, take Anacin tablets. For most effective relief, use only as directed. Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Now, Ellery, what about next week?
Next week's story, Don, is about a tense problem in human relations and crime. I call it Tragedy in Blue. This is Ellery Queen saying goodnight for Anacin and enlisting all Americans in the fight against bad citizenship, bigotry, and discrimination, the crimes which are weakening America.
All names of characters used in this program are fictitious and do not refer to real people, either living or dead. Among the members of tonight's cast were Larry Dobkin, Charlotte Keene, Bill Smith, and Ed Latimer. Music by Chet Kingsbury, Don Hancock speaking. Beginning September 28th, the makers of Anacin and Kalinos will bring you at the same time a new and exciting program direct from Hollywood called Hollywood Star Preview. Remember the date, September 28th.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, we've talked before on this program about my admiration and respect for everything that Lawrence Dobkin contributed to the golden age of radio. And this is another great example. Turns in a very good performance, perhaps the best version of Ellery Queen we've heard on the radio so far. And the script, I think, was a little bit better, too. And, of course, the tolerance theme of the commercials, or public service announcements, I should say, at the end really did reflect the tone of this post-war era. And I thought the mystery was solid, though... The pursuit of the diamond smuggling almost made me wonder what our armchair detective was going to solve. In some ways, this had a more exciting, almost Nick Carter-ish feel to it. Well, at any rate, let's go ahead and take a look at some listener comments and feedback. And the word is Broma Seltzer. Mary emails in, "Hey, Adam, thanks for all you do. I'm in complete agreement with the listener who wrote you asking if anyone else is creeped out by the train voice from Broma Seltzer. I knew I'd heard that effect before, and there was a reason it scared me. There was a movie from 1940 called You'll Find Out, where band leader Kay Kaiser shows off some new technology, Sonovox. And there's a clip where it's kind of lighthearted. She said, this example is pretty whimsical. But later in the film, they do a seance, and it's used in a more spine-tingling way, which is not surprising since the cast also includes horror greats Peter Lorre, Bela Lugosi, and Boris Karloff. Wow, don't plan on going to sleep after watching that movie. I'd have trouble sleeping after watching the credits. Anyway, Mary goes on to write... thanks again for all the great old material. We love it. Well, thanks so much, Mary. And Bobby Lee Walker says, I agree. The train is a little scary when he's trying to talk. Well, thanks so much. Do appreciate all the insights we've received on the Broma Seltzer train and maybe a little bit of what makes it so scary. All right, well, that will be it for today. Join us back here tomorrow, The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. And then next week, another episode of Ellery Queen. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.